I was maintaining it. I had like 12 or 4 filing cabinets and organized where I kept all of the different pictures. So whenever one of the principal investigator scientists were to come into NASA and want a picture of something, I could go directly to it, pull out a copy, and then I'd get it replaced. And I maintained 5 sets. Well, my first reaction was, well, you know, these things are valuable. Any college would love to have a set of these, and why don't we send them out to them? And he says, you were told to destroy everything except for one. I don't care what you do, just get rid of them. So being a good little soldier, I went out and I tossed 3 sets of them in the Dempsey dumpster. And interesting enough, some data was recently found in a Dempsey dumpster here just about a year ago.
Well, let me ask you this before you move on from that. Is that, if viewing it from a conspiratorial sort of viewpoint, is that really weird, or is that just the government being wasteful as it always is?
Well, I'm not quite one to ask that, I guess. It was strange. It was weird, and my reaction was, well, okay, if I can get rid of them any way I want to. I kept one set, put it in a duffel bag, and that night I took them home with me, and I kept them. So let's see, that would have been Apollo 15. So we were talking about 1971, I think, something like that. And it wasn't until 1995 that, 1977, I went and took the same pictures to my alma mater, the Oklahoma City University, and I donated a large portion of those to their science lab. And since then, I've gone back, and someone has confiscated those, and they disappeared. But that would have been nice to have had all those. Fortunately, I had over 1,000 some other pictures that I kept in my own personal files whenever I wound up leaving the space program.
Well, could somebody say this? Well, you were stealing those things.
Well, I suppose someone could make a case for that, but then I could also look at the standpoint. We paid for that with our tax dollars, so, you know, I paid for them. How's that?
Well, I'm not challenging in that regard. I'm just wondering how, if your critics, and I know there are a bunch of them from inside NASA who look at you suspiciously, well, that guy must have stolen these things. He never should have done it. It was against orders.
It probably, and the fact that I didn't dispose of them would have been considered not following all the orders exactly the way they're laid out. I just interpreted it the way I saw fit.
Let's go back to that moment. You got all these images coming across. Do you remember the first one that jumps out at you that you go, whoa, what the heck is that?
Well, I guess the first one really would have been a picture that came from the Russian Zond lunar orbiter, and it was a picture that snapped of the lunar, the lib, right on the surface of the moon, and right on the lib there's this dome that looks fractured and cracked inside it. Several of us have looked at that and thought, now that is something strange. Okay. Whenever time that any one of us would see or hear something going on that was strange, you know, we'd say, hey, I want to get back and check that, look into it. But we were so pushed to get to the next mission and the next mission, next mission. And then they laid us all off. When Grumman had the layoff, they laid off some 36,000 employees after the Apollo 11 landing because they said, we're no longer doing research and development. We're doing routine flights to the moon. So it's kind of tough whenever you're looking at the situation where you want to go back and look at things, you want to check things out, but then all of a sudden you're kicked out and you don't have the resources to be able to go back and try to check those out. I've talked to numerous people that has happened to, and they had the same problem. One of the things I can point out is shortly after the Apollo program shut down, branch of the government, and I don't know which branch it was, actually came out to those of us that had worked on the missions and confiscated our mission operation handbooks, the diagrams, the schematics, things like that, so that whenever it came around, and I think when George Bush said we're going to return to the moon, NASA said, oh, my God, we don't know how to go there. We don't know how they did it. And they actually came out and interviewed, not me personally, but some of the others were interviewed and and they'd go to museums and they'd take their calipers and their cameras and photograph and measure all the various components and trying to figure out just exactly how we were able to put together spacecraft, the command module, lunar module, and the Saturn V. And interesting point, we had 3 more lunar module spacecrafts that were already in the assembly line, partially completed. Same thing with Saturn V's and the command modules. And then Apollo 17 was shut down and said, that's the end of the missions. We're not going to the moon anymore.
Well, you know what? You don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to see an explanation for that. It's the incompetence and the wastefulness of NASA. I mean, we've seen it again and again in so many ways. But maybe there's more to this than that.
Well, I was also a part of the Speakers Bureau there at NASA, and in that capacity, when some like the Rotary clubs or various organizations would like to have someone come out and talk to them about what we're doing in space, well, we would go out and do that. The biggest mistake that NASA made, and I just noticed recently they're still doing it, when we would have a mission, they would say, "Oh, that cost us so many hundred millions of dollars," and the average person has no concept of anything that costs more than their house or their car. It's just total waste. But when you really look at spinoffs, and that's one of the things we'd address when we go out and speak to Cheryl and talk about the spinoffs that came from the space program that so far outweighed the cost, and far better than technology has advanced through warfare, we were able to advance technology through a peaceful means of going to the moon.
Let's go back to this first image that you saw of this dome-like structure that you thought, wow, that looks really interesting. Did you say to your colleagues, what the heck is that? Help me understand this.
Well, absolutely. And, of course, they were at a loss as well. And that was the first thing that I had seen. Now, I did see some of the other pictures that were taken from orbit on the various missions that looked like, you know, something that wasn't what we would consider. But then again, the moon was considered a different planet, and where things that we might think look perfectly normal on Earth wouldn't there, and vice versa. One of the things that I saw was, and I've questioned it many times, it was in, and I can't think of the name of the mission, I think it was Apollo 16. We're down a mountainside, running down into a valley. There's a whole series of tracks. It looks like they were made by the type of treads that a tank would make. And people says, "Oh no, that was a boulder that came loose on the mountain and rolled down." Interesting enough, it rolled down so far, one chunk of it broke off and rolled off to the side and to another direction, and this one turned. So you know, you can't necessarily accept the answers that those in charge are going to throw out to you. The same with the video on Apollo 14, which
we'll talk about that. What video? What did it show? Okay.
All right. In my position at the data and photo compartment at the Lunar Receiving Laboratory, excuse me just a moment here. Dr. Thornton Page, who was the director of the Lunar and Planetary Science Department at NASA, the Johnson Space Center, he contacted me and asked me to go to the XT photo lab where they processed them and pull out a specific 16-millimeter reel. Now, what most people don't realize is that while the crew were in the lunar module down on the lunar surface, we had the astronauts on board going around and around the moon taking pictures. Now, on Apollo 14, you know, we had Alan Shepard, Stuart Rusa, and Ed Mitchell. Ed Mitchell kept on board the spacecraft. He had experiments to run, too, and part of it was having in the service module to activate the camera, 60-millimeter. I'd call it a gun sequence camera, and I'll explain that in a minute, taking strips of the terrain of the moon as it passed over. And there, he asked me to check out this film and then give a showing for him, and there were seven other astronomers and scientists that were in the room. And I start the film up going, I'm using a gun sequence projector, which allows me to stop frame by frame or go multiple frames at a time. I can stop, freeze, zoom in, zoom out. So as we're tracking across the backside of the moon, and at the time this was about to consider a half moon, so the half of the front side was bathed in sunlight and half the backside was. So there was a shadow cast in the bottom of a crater, and as we approached it, in the dark area, there were a cluster of like five domes that were lit from the inside, and a little plume that looked like steam or something streaking up above it. He had me stop the camera, freeze, zoom in, back up, go for it several times, and then he turns to his colleagues and says, "Well, boys, what do you think of that?" And they all chuckled and laughed like it was an inside joke. They knew what it was. So he asked me then to complete the reel, and then I did that and checked the film back into the Photographic Technology Laboratory. And as I'm going in, now this is something we put in here at this point, as I was going in into the secret, well, you're required to have a secret clearance to get inside the inner part of the lab, and as I go inside, past the security clearance, there's a light table roughly 4 feet or 3 feet by 3 feet, whatever, it's about that size. And the light table, people don't know, it's an opaque glass top with light protection from the bottom, so that when you put a negative or something on it, you'd be able to light it up so you could see well. There was two guys and a lady there that were painting out stuff on these negatives. And I asked them what they were doing, and one of the guys quipped. He says, "Hey," he said, "we're professional strippers." And the lady, I think, was offended, and she said, "No, what we're doing is we were told to paint out along the edge of the horizon on the moon because we don't want the stars to confuse people that are looking at it."